It is indeed time for Fitter Happier, and it's time to think about where we are. Fitter Happier is always looking after you, letting you know what's going on, and looking out for those out and about in the health system. Yesterday was Ida Hobbit, which I feel like is a strange like acronym to say, but it stands for the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Interphobia and Transphobia. It's a really important day and it's an annual celebration of our LGBTQIA+ community. It's raising awareness about the work that's still needed to combat discrimination and violence in that space and talk about what needs to change in the health system, because many people really face difficulty up against the health system, especially those LGBTQIA+ folks who are just trying to get basic things. Sometimes it's really hard. Joining us this morning on Fitter Happier is Jane Armstrong, a clinical nurse specialist and LGBTQIA+ projects officer in the mental health division at Royal Perth Hospital. Welcome back to On the Record, Jane. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Good morning, darling.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit about your role at WA Health and your work with WA Health?
Sure. Obviously, I wear two hats. I'm a community mental health nurse and have been doing that for nearly 30 years. I feel old. And my other role is LGBTIQ+ project officer for the mental health division at Royal Perth Bentley Group at East Metro Health Service. And essentially, it's about making the services inclusive for staff and our patients and their carers. It's about, creating safe spaces and inclusive forms, education of everybody, that sort of thing.
Now, 30 years ago, on May 17th in 1990, the World Health Organization removed homosexuality from the classification of diseases and related health problems. A remarkable day and obviously very late to the game. A really important moment. What does discrimination that was like this mean for the health and well-being of the LGBTQIA+ community?
Ooh. We don't have enough time, but basically in brief, discrimination is so bad for both mental health and physical health. From a physical health perspective, obviously it creates the stress response in our bodies, which increases different types of hormones essentially, if you're constantly being discriminated against, which a lot of our community are, it means that, these hormones and the stress responses are constantly on. So, you can imagine that, for example, your adrenal glands, which create some of these hormones, are just going to become exhausted. High levels of anxiety and depression, high levels of suicidal ideation. We know that a trans person faces 60-plus events of discrimination, from face-to-face interactions to the forms that they fill in, to being dead-named and misgendered. So it's no wonder that we know for a trans person they've got a 16 to 18 times higher likelihood of attempting suicide. These microaggressions obviously, overt discrimination all build up and create a perfect storm, really.
I can understand. And I think that discrimination really was at its centre point when this happened. The World Health Organization took this down and they changed the wording, they changed what they were doing, they changed the classification of diseases and related health problems. And International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Interphobia and Transphobia came about. And it is to celebrate LGBTQIA+ people globally, but it does raise awareness of the work that's still needed. What kind of barriers can LGBTQIA+ people face when navigating something like the health system?
Look, I'm really, really proud to say that there's loads and loads of work being done on reducing these barriers. But it's simple things like not being able to have your preferred name, pronouns, and even gender on your name tag. You know, on the wristband.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming very, very soon. But at the moment, people still have to have, their sex assigned at birth, their legal names, and there's no space for pronouns. So, you know, it's constantly meaning that this person is not going to be called or recognised for who they are.
It's obviously hard to think about those daily access points, forms, regular wrist bracelets at hospitals, the ways that people maybe are navigating this system, and those things that really, if you aren't, you know, faced with these differences, is something that you're not going to notice. So something like this wonderful International Day is a way to highlight these differences, highlight what changes are needed. How can the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Interphobia and Transphobia make a difference?
Well, really, it's a touch point, isn't it? It's a reminder. And we all need reminders. But it's also the opportunity for education. We at East Metro had pledge posters everywhere where people were signing, you know, their names on it and basically saying that they'll be allies. It's creating... one of the ideas behind that poster was to show that it's a safe space.
Right.
It's also about cultural change. There's a lot of people who, there's a great saying, they don't know what they don't know. And essentially, if it's not in your wheelhouse, you're not going to be aware of this stuff.
It's important. Yeah, absolutely. And it's important.
Public service. Mm-hmm. We have a responsibility to educate.
It's important that, you know, international days like this really do get the highlight and the focus and the attention that they deserve, especially when we're talking about things like health systems, you know, in places like hospitals and doctor's surgeries. Really, this needs to be a day or a space where, you know, workplaces take the opportunity to highlight the ways that they could be changing themselves or updating their processes, their forms, the ways that they go about daily tasks to be more inclusive and more registering of people that belong in the LGBTQIA plus community or are feeling ostracised by regular daily experiences when they just need to access healthcare, because healthcare is obviously just a basic human right. And it is hard. So when we're thinking about it, mental health comes into it. Mental health is something that obviously we mentioned previously, because of discrimination that already exists, there's already high risk points, there's a little bit more to be concerned about. Because of the discrimination that we've discussed, where can LGBTQIA plus people go for help when they're really struggling with their mental health or they're feeling like a health system isn't really for them? What places and spaces in Perth can they access?
I always think that your GP really is your first port of call, you know, that primary healthcare kind of level. But there's loads of places around Perth. Like, you've got the Freedom Centre, which is for young ones. Up to the age of 25 or 26, I think it is, you've got Transfolk WA. You've got a number of places where you can go in and say, look, I need some support. Of course, then you've got the Mental Health Emergency Response Line, which I have personally trained all of those folks for LGBTIQ plus inclusivity. And they're good people. So, you know, there's quite a few places where if you're struggling, just reach out.
If you are indeed struggling and, you know, sometimes people can't go to their GPs, maybe it is a family GP or maybe it's someone that they don't feel totally connected to. As mentioned, there are spaces like Freedom State, there's places like the West Australian AIDS Council, so WAAC, they have great resources on their website for different places around Western Australia, and healthywa.gov.au also has resources like that. Places you can reach into or resources that you can use, they're at your disposal to really make use of and really find it easier to access healthcare, because it's not something that we're taught. It's not something that is part of your school education about how to access inclusive healthcare. So this day is really a chance and an opportunity for healthcare systems and healthcare institutions to think about the ways that we're accessing it. But it should also be an opportunity for schools and really for other places to be thinking about how they're teaching their young kids to access healthcare and the kind of healthcare that's going on. So what advice would you have for anyone listening who'd, you know, like to better support their LGBTQIA plus friends or family when accessing healthcare?
Look, I think the core thing here is to listen and hear what is being said, and then support people to reach out to professional services. You know, mental health is not something to turn around and go, oh, she'll be right. Mental health is serious, and you know, it's important to contact professionals if someone is struggling.
Absolutely. So if you are struggling, but even if you just want to learn a little bit more about the ways we need to change health services, the ways we need to engage with it, you can find out a little bit more about International Day. Yes. International Day. It's a very long acronym. It's International Day, the International Day to celebrate and be careful of intersex homophobia. We need to be really thinking about the ways that our healthcare system is set up for it.
Right.
And it's important to help those people that maybe it's not set up for immediately in accessing those points. For more information, absolutely, Jane, you can go.
Sorry, no, I just wanted to say people need to be aware that change is coming. Change is happening. It might be a slow beast, but changing a system is never quick, but it is coming.
It's important, right? So yesterday was Homophobia, Biphobia and Interphobia and Transphobia Day of Visibility. And it's important that we know that, and it's important that we focus on it. Thank you so much for joining us on The Record today, Jane.
Anytime, darling.
That was Jane Armstrong, a clinical nurse specialist and LGBTQIA plus project officer at the Mental Health Division at Royal Perth Hospital. You can find out more at healthywa.wa.gov.au or head to idahobit.org.au. If you're looking for places around Perth, head to WAAC, so the West Australian AIDS Council. As mentioned, you can head to Freedom State. They all have different resources available about accessing healthcare points, about needs and different needs for inclusive spaces. And even if you're, you know, at home or you've got somebody who's having trouble accessing the healthcare system, absolutely get in touch. If anything that we discussed earlier in the conversation was upsetting, please, as Jane said, reach out for help. Lifeline and help is available. You can call 131114 and someone will speak to you in regards to mental health if you're feeling a little bit upset or a little bit disconnected from the conversation that we've had a little bit earlier.